very sobering psalm. It reiterates our responsibility to the Lord, that our responsibility is to do all we can to not only live the life before the people that we're come in contact with, but to make certain that we are trying to reach out to those that are lost. Bear with me a moment. I think I need to do that. All right, what we're going to do is, if you will, turn with me to Revelation, the second chapter. I want to read at starting at the 10th verse, and we desire that you would pray for us and with us as we share with you the Word of God. Our desire is to be faithful to the Lord. As you know, I often say that I pray and I ask the Lord, what is it that you would have me to minister at what time? We don't know what everybody is going through, but we want to be an encouragement to you. And we believe that the Word of God is an encouragement. So pray for us and with us as we share with you what the Lord has for us today. Revelation, the second chapter, starting at verse 10. All right, so he says here, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. He didn't say you might suffer those, some things. He didn't say that there's a possibility that you're going to suffer some things if you are a saint or a Christian. He said, fear not those things which thou shalt suffer. You're going to suffer some things, all right?
Behold,
the devil shall cast some of you into prison,
that
ye may be tried.
You
shall have tribulations for a certain period of time, maybe a little longer than what you anticipated, a little longer than what you expected, but you're going to have tribulation. But he says, he gives an encouragement in the midst of all the trials, in the midst of all of the suffering that you will go through, in the midst of all the temptations, all of the tribulations that you're going to face, he said, be faithful.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Be thou faithful
unto death,
and I will give thee
a crown of life.
No, so what we show here is, be thou faithful. It's one thing for us to be faithful for a certain period of time, and being faithful for a few years, and we can say, I often would hear the old time saints say things like, I've been saved for 50 years, and that's a good thing, but you're not dead yet. And you can say, I've been saved for 10 years, and I've been faithful to the Lord for 20 years, for 10 days, however long it is, that's good. And I want to encourage you to keep doing it, but that's not good enough. You've got to be faithful unto death. The finish line is death. And so what we see here is that there is, here in this, it infers something. So we here have a birth. Birth here, and then here we have death. And this is a physical birth, and there's a physical death here. So he said, be thou faithful unto death. But there is, in the midst of this, there is another type of birth. Somewhere in between all this, he said, there's going to be suffering. There's going to be things that you're going to have to go through. There are going to be some things that you don't like, some things that tribulation, some suffering that we go through. At some point here, you get saved. We all are born. All of us have a physical birth. Everyone here, the reason that we're sitting here today is because we were born at some point in the past. And we all have a clear understanding that at some point in the future, it may be the near future for some of us, it may be the far future for others, but in the future, somewhere, there is death, that all of us are going to die. All of us understand that. We know it. We don't like to think about it. We don't like for people to remind us that we're going to die. But I'm here to remind you today that we're going to die. And you know it. It's not a secret to you. It's not something that you haven't thought about before. It is something that you thought about. You thought about what is going to happen to your family. You thought about where you're going to spend eternity. You've thought about dying before. And I'm certain that we can go through the obituary today, and somewhere today, somebody that was your age died. And they didn't know that they were going to die. They weren't 102 years old. They weren't 72 years old. They weren't in their 80s. They were your age. Whatever that age is, I remember, and I probably told you about it, one time I read an obituary. I don't know why we like reading obituaries. They have them in the newspaper because people like reading them, right? And there's something about that we're kind of drawn to it when we get to the obits. we just kind of scan it and see what pictures are there, and then those that are of interest to us, we begin to read their life. And we can put their life in a few paragraphs, in a column of a newspaper. And it tells what's the most important things to those people. And you know what? Your life is like that. When we die, somebody is going to try to condense our life and put it on the back of a paper about this size. And they're going to tell all about our life, all the highlights, all the things that were important to us in life. They're going to tell it in a few sentences, in a few paragraphs, but we're going to die. And the thing that we want more than all the accomplishments, because at this point in my life, when I reach death, it doesn't matter what I did in life. It doesn't matter if I'm a millionaire. It doesn't matter if I'm a billionaire. It doesn't matter if I live under the bridge. It doesn't matter if I had a nice home, a nice car, furniture, clothes. None of that matters. What matters at the end of my life is whether or not I've been faithful to death. Now, the reason we're here and what we endeavor to do as people of God, as saints of God, as Christian people, what we endeavor to do, we have the life of Christ in us, and what happens is that life takes us through death. All right, so yes, my physical body will die, but my spiritual body, at some point in my existence, after my birth, I come to an age of accountability. What is an age of accountability? An age of accountability is a small child that doesn't know right, doesn't clearly understand right from wrong, is not responsible. If he steals a cookie, he knows the mom's going to come, slap his hand, and maybe have him stand in the corner, but he doesn't have the clear understanding that Jesus doesn't want you to do that. We teach them that. All right? And so at some point, at the age of accountability, and we all come there, I can't tell you, some folks want to say it's 12 years old. I believe it's younger than that for some children. And I don't believe that the Bible lays out a clear time in which we come to that age. It is when you come to the understanding that what you're doing is wrong and God is not pleased with that, and you realize that I need to make a change. You know how old I was when I came to that age? I was 9. And I remember the Lord, we were in a church service, and the Lord coming, talking to me, and there, my heart started pumping hard, and I didn't understand really what was going on. And my older sister, she reached down and she said, "You want to go down there and pray?" And I said, "Yeah." So she went down there with me, and I prayed. And I got saved. I was 9, so we can't say that the age of accountability is 12. We don't know. The Lord knows. But when the Lord began to talk to your heart, and the Lord began to deal with you, and you know that the things that you're doing is wrong, children, no matter what age that is, you can't find a place to pray, and you ask the Lord to forgive you of your sins, and you can live right from that point on. So here what we have after our natural birth, this is a natural birth, somewhere in between this, we don't know where it is, there is a spiritual birth. It's spiritual. So I have a birthday, I have a spiritual, what did the Lord say to Nicodemus? Except ye be what? Born again, ye cannot see the kingdom of heaven. And so we realize, he said, well, that's a little confusing, Lord. What do you mean being born again? Can a man enter back into the womb after he's grown and be born? No, he said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. I'm not talking about flesh. What I'm talking about, Jesus is saying, I'm not talking about flesh. I am talking about a spiritual rebirth where that old man, the old things have passed away. And now behold, all things become new. I'm a new creature in Christ. I don't sin anymore. I don't do the things that I used to do. I don't go the places that I used to go. Why? Because there is something that's taken place. There has been a spiritual birth in me. And the Lord has cleansed me, cleaned me up from my sins, made me to live right, given me the grace of God. And now I'm a new creature. All right? So at some point, that new birth takes place. And you become a different person. You know what? If we sat down and interviewed some of the folks sitting right, all of us, and if we interviewed some people before they were saved, and you knew them before they were saved, and right now you know that they're a new creature. You know that they're not, that some change has taken place in their lives. All right? So what happens is, it says, be thou faithful from this point forward. Now, it may be that from the time that you get saved, at 9, at 12, at 15, 17, 19, and 25, whatever the age, it doesn't really matter what the age is. What matters is that the Lord has spoken to my heart, and I've yielded to that. I've given myself to the Lord, and I say, Lord, whatever it is, I'm willing to go all the way with you, and what we mean is all the way. All right? So it'd be good. So maybe you get saved here at 20. You know, I've been saved for several years now, right? But, you know, I've got several more years to go, perhaps. It says here, be thou faithful unto death, unto death. Now, this is talking about a physical death. I'm going to die. So it can't be that I'm faithful for 50 years here. So I've been faithful for 50 years, and I've been saved. So that's good. It's wonderful, but it's not good enough. So you got to be faithful unto death. And I'll give you a crown of life. All right?
All right, so let's go a little further here. So, verse 10, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. So in other words, if I'm faithful through the first death, which is my physical death, if I'm faithful, then there won't be a spiritual death. Do you understand what I'm saying? There won't be me dying, spiritually speaking, and having to spend an eternity. We sang that song, very sobering song. Must they truly be consigned to the pit and there confined? When Jesus died, and the blessed Savior shed his blood for all. Lord, help us. All right? All right, let's go a little further here. Let's go to, I want to deal a little bit with a scripture in Revelation 22nd, verse 14. Read that. 22nd and 14, 22 and 14.
Blessed are they
that do his commandments,
that they may have
the right
to the tree of life.
Now, what
they may enter in
through the gates into the city. So he's saying, blessed are they that do his commandments. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. All right. So what he's saying here, he said, blessed are those that do what they know God is requiring them to do. It's commandment. It's not, what is a commandment? A commandment is not an option. It's not something that I can do if I want to do it, and it's something that I don't have to do if I don't. You know, it seems like one of the things that the Lord does, and I often marvel at this, the Lord doesn't say, no, I'm serious. I'm serious. There really is. He doesn't say that, does he? He just says what he means, and he means what he says, and he's serious all the time. And we have to do that in our own, when we're dealing with one another, because sometimes we play, we do these kinds of things, and people don't know how serious it is. But when Jesus speaks, he doesn't say, no, I'm serious about this. You all better get your heart right. No, he doesn't necessarily say it like that in the scriptures. But you know what? We can say it. We want to say, no, we want you to make certain that you do what you must do in order to make it happen. So he's saying you have a right to the tree of life. Do you know Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden had a right to the tree of life? That was their right. The one thing that God, the only thing that they did not have a right to do was eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the thing that they chose to do was disobey God. They went against what God told them to do. So they had a right to the tree of life as long as they were obedient not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That was the only law that God had laid down to them. They could do anything they wanted to. Only don't eat that. Can you imagine that that's all that God required of you? Don't touch it. Don't eat it. But you can eat any other tree. The tree of life was their right. And they could have lived forever. They would have had no death. No sorrow. Nothing. I believe it would have fundamentally changed something in Adam and Eve. I don't know what it is, but I believe it would have done it. Now, what you and I look at it like this. You and I are given
the same choices that Adam and Eve were given. What set before me is sin and salvation. I can choose life or I can choose death. And if I choose life, I have a right to the tree of life. And what makes me have a right to the tree of life? This spiritual birth. You know, it gives you and I rights as American citizens. It's the fact that we were born in America. And so all of the rights, inalienable rights, life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, whatever it is that we, that is rightfully belong to a citizen, we can call, we can require it be given to us. You understand what I'm saying?
Why? Because we're citizens by birth. Or we're naturalized citizens, however it goes. But when it comes to things of heaven, we're citizens by birth. All right. So that's what gives us the right. Let's go a little further. 1 Peter 4, verse 1. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. He that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, reveling, banqueting, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Have you ever had somebody to speak evil of you because you're not doing what they're doing? Maybe they call themselves a Christian and they say you're trying to be holier than thou, and all you're trying to do is live right. All you're trying to do is, listen, I'm just trying to do what I know. I'm trying to keep the commandments of the Lord so that I have a right to that tree of life and I can enter in to the gates of heaven, because ultimately I know that this world is going to pass away. I don't know when. We don't know when. I can fall over dead today. But as long as I am faithful unto death to this point, he'll give me a crown of life. And in the same way, as long as you're faithful unto death, he'll give you a crown of life as well. So he says here that some folks want to talk about and say the different things, but it says here, for as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, you arm yourself. You put on the ammunition with the same mind that Christ had. When Christ came down here on this world, in this world, he armed himself. He didn't come here saying, you know what, I want a purple robe. I want all of y'all to understand who I am. I want you to love me. I want you to exalt me. He knew that they were going to come against him. And he armed himself. He put, in other words, what do you mean? You're going to get an arsenal. We're going to get an arsenal of things that we can fight with. And one of the things that we can fight with is I know and I understand that while I'm here on this earth, I'm going to have to suffer. I'm going to have to go through some things. Every one of us, whether you're saved and living for the Lord, or whether you're unsaved and living for the devil, whether you're in sin, you're going to suffer. You're going to go through some very difficult times and difficult things. And generally speaking, what those problems that you go through, whether we understand it or not, they're to enlighten us and to bring us closer to God. God is always trying to get our attention and bring us closer to Him. So whether you're in sin, the things that you go that happen in your life, maybe you go and you hit a dead end and you realize, listen, it really wasn't worth it, me going down that road. And so the Lord says, but I'm here with you, and I want you to turn around, and I want you to understand you can't go that way by yourself. You can't go this way by yourself. So I believe at the end of every trial, at the end of every problem, the Lord is there trying to direct us back to Him. And that's whether you're saved or whether you're unsaved. Now there are a lot of folks that want to blame God for the problems that happen in the world. Have you ever noticed how people don't blame the devil for what he's doing? But they blame God for what he's allowing to do. But we have to understand that we're free moral agents. I can do what I want to do. You can do what you want to do. If you don't want to serve God and you want to listen to the devil and you want to go into deep sin, you have that privilege and that opportunity to do it. I would warn you against it, but that's your prerogative. And the Lord's not going to stop you from doing it. All right.
So arm yourselves with the same mind. Christ suffered for you in the flesh. Arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer, he that is willing to suffer, he that's willing, that comes with that place of understanding, understands, Lord, I don't have to sin either. I don't have to come to a place that I can sin, have to sin more or less every day. You can give me the power and the victory when I arm myself that I'm willing to go through whatever it requires me to go through in order to be what you want me to be, Lord. Then I understand that and you're able to take me through. That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. For the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the wills of the Gentiles. What that means in essence is what my past life, that was sufficient for me. I don't have to go back to that life. You know, I got saved at 9, but I didn't keep it. So you can lose your salvation. You know that? You can backslide. You can not continue. And, well, you get into your teenage years. You get into those places and you have these little experiences up and down. You don't have to do that. The Lord can give you the victory from the time you get saved all the way through to the rest of your life. And the Lord can do that until death. He can give you faithfulness unto death. All right? And so what we understand is you look and you think, Lord, if I were not saved, have you ever thought about this? And I know sometimes it's not necessary or even healthy for us to put too much thought into it. But you look at things and you knew what kind of bent you were on, what kind of track the devil had put you on, and you know where you would probably be. If the trajectory of that is that if I had stayed unsaved in the things that appealed to me, this is where I would probably be today had I not given my heart to the Lord when I did. Had you ever thought about those kinds of things? Does it make you cringe when you think what you could be and you see somebody that had so much potential? Maybe they were raised in an environment much like yours, and you see they had so much potential, and they went, got started into drugs, or doing something that was just awful, very, very awful, and you see that this man, this woman, had so much potential, and they're going in a downward path, and you think, but by the grace of God, that's me. That's where I would be, and so you know what it does? It doesn't make us think that we're so something. It doesn't make me stick out our chest and say, you know what, I'm not like that. Like the Pharisee went up. I thank you, Lord, that I'm not like this. But you realize and understand, Lord, it is only by your mercy that I'm not like that. I like to think that I was in control of my life, but they thought that they were in control. I can stop smoking anytime I want to. I just don't want to right now. No, you're bound. You're in a prison house. You're bound by sin, and you can't prevent yourself from doing it. I was there. You were there. But the Lord delivered us, and he wants us from the time of our rebirth, he wants us to be faithful all the way through, not for 50 years, not for 100 years, not for 20 years, not for a few months. He wants us to be faithful unto death. You're going to go through some things, folks. You're going to have some problems. You're going to have some tribulations. You're going to have all these things. But God is going to be faithful to you if you'll be faithful to him. He'll take you through. All right?
Matthew 10, verse 22.
And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake.
Well, when I became a Christian, everything was going to get much better.
I thought, and it does. It does.
He
said, all right, he that doeth, endureth to the end. All right, he says, so here, you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. You're going to be hated. People are not going to like you. You know what? That's something that you have to arm yourselves with, because all of us are social beings, and we want everybody to like us, don't we? Speaks of, you go back up into the start of the 20th verse.
For
it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father, which speaketh in you. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved.
Endure, what does that mean? Keep going, persevere, put up with some stuff. What is
overcome?
Endurance. The inference in endurance is that there are going to be some problems. There are going to be something that you're running a race, If you're running a marathon, do you suppose you got to have some endurance in order to do that? Do you suppose that you're going to have to overcome the mountains and the different valleys that happen? Well, it's nice to run downhill, and then you start to run uphill. There's going to be, what happens? Your body starts hurting. There's some things that tells you in your mind, your mind starts screaming to you and says, you know what, this really ain't worth it. You're running 26 point something miles. Does that really make sense? You know, the devil is going to say that to you, that you're running, you're doing all of this, putting forth all this effort, trying to get to a heaven. Is there really such a place? Is it really? Do you really have to do this in order to get there? And we are conditioned in America, in this generation in America. You talk to the folks that went through the Depression, they know what it is to endure hunger. They know what it is to endure to be without, to have rations and all these kind of things. We have never gone through that. We haven't gone through any kind of, the economy is bad. But any of y'all stop going to the grocery store? Any of us lose any weight because the economy is bad? No. We find a way to adjust. We haven't gone to this. So what we do, we make amends and we make adjustments in our environment in order to accommodate what is important to us. All right? So he says here, you shall be hated of all men for my sake, but he that endures to where? To the end. All you endure. I endure for. Look, I'm going to put up with this for about a week. I'm going to do it for about a month, or maybe I'll see what happens in the next 3 weeks, and I'll give them a few days, and if it doesn't happen then we're going to do something different. That's not what it's talking about, is it? He that endures to the end, whatever the trial, whatever the problem, whatever the situation is, he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. I'm not going to endure for 50 days, for 50 years. I've got to go all the way to the end. By the help and the grace of God, I want to encourage you, whatever it is that you're going through today, whatever the problem is in your life, keep going. It's going to be over. Yeah. Brother said, he had the flu for how many days? 14. At the beginning of it, you were thinking, did you know it was going to be 14 days at the beginning? No, you didn't. 2 weeks, you're sick. You know, Brother Danny Gillenbeck, and going through this severe trial that he was going through of affliction, and the Lord had the saints of God to prevail in prayer, and the Lord's given them some relief. We thank the Lord for that. Did you know how long it was going to last when you got into the battle? No, you didn't. But you know, the Lord brought you through it. The Lord gave you victory in the midst of it. Now the flu is gone and you can smell. Isn't that something? Now that's His testimony. How the Lord can take a trial and affliction, and He said, I want to work some good in your life. The thing that you're suffering is going to work for your good if you just endure to the end. If you just let me do whatever it is that I want to do in your life, if you'll allow me to do that, it's going to work for your good when it's all said and done. And if I believe that, if I can adjust my mind to believe that, and Lord, that you put in my mind that I'm willing to suffer, then you know what? If I'm not willing to suffer, I can't get the victory that the Lord wants me to have at the end of it. Lord, help us. So Lord, give me the willingness to hurt. I don't believe there's a person here that enjoys pain. Nobody likes it. But if we arm ourselves with the mind of Christ, we'll be able to get through these things by the help and the grace of God. And if we'll be able to endure. If we don't, we won't be able to endure to the end. All right? Now let's go a little further. Hebrews 11, verse 13. Let's read a little bit there. Hebrews 11, you have it, read it. These all died in faith. Not having received the promises. But they saw them afar off. And they were persuaded of them. And they embraced them. We feel like everything that God has promised us, I have a right to it right now. Lord, you promised this to me. You promised it to me, and the Lord is saying, I want you to endure. I told you, I'm going to give you what I promised you. I'm going to give it to you. But we feel like, Lord, when it's not done in the like manner that we feel like it needs to be done, we become disgruntled with the Lord. Because, Lord, you promised me now. Really, can I trust you when you say something? Because I don't have what it is that you promised to give me. The Lord said He is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness. I might promise you something that I think in my best interest I'm able to give to you, but in the end I realize I can't. I don't have the the capability. I don't have the resources to give you what I promised. So what do?
I come to you and I say, I'm sorry. I know I promised you this, but would you forgive me and give me a little bit more time? I'll do my best to get it. That's all that I can do. I can say I'll do my best. But the Lord can say more than that. The Lord, whatever He has laid down in His Word, He is able to perform it. He's able, whatever He has given you, whatever He's given you in His Word, He is able to perform it. It is not, oh well, I just came to the point that I'm not able to do this because I just don't have the resources. The Lord never says that. When we don't receive the promise, maybe it's that the Lord has a better way. Now, what does it say here when you start? Let's start over here. It says, what?
Yeah?
13.
Yeah, 13. Okay, what more shall I say? Is that one, what it is? Okay. All right, read.
These all died in faith.
Not having received the promises.
Having
seen them afar off. And they were persuaded of them. And they embraced them. I know I've got it. They've embraced them and they confessed them. So in other words, they were telling everybody what God had done for them and they didn't even have it in their head. That was by faith, saints. By faith, God has the ability to reach out into the future and perform something that we can hold on now, but it's in the future and I can hold on to it today because God promised it to me and they confessed it. They started telling everybody what God had done for them. They started confessing what God had done for them. Lord, help me to be willing to have the faith to confess that you're able to do exceeding abundantly above all that I ask or think. I know you're going to do it, Lord. I just don't know how. Sometimes we have, and we think so highly of ourselves that we think, you know, Scripture says every man's ways are right in his own eyes. We think that the way that we think about it is the right way, and we think we're so objective about the way that we're looking at it. And what we really need is the mind of Christ. Lord, help me. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Lord, help me. I humble myself. All right, read.
They confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things.
Yes.
They declare plainly
that they seek a country. They're not citizens of here.
And truly.
If they've been mindful of the country which they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. So in other words, if they're constantly thinking about what they did back in sin, they're going to find the opportunity to go back there. If you're thinking about the children of Israel, when they were thinking about they got out of the land of Egypt and they'd gone across the Red Sea and they were in the wilderness, they were thinking about going back to the country that they had just come out of. Saints, when you get saved, when you live for the Lord, you do everything in your power to keep your eyes focused on the Lord. You go ahead and you're not, once you've been born again, you're a citizen of another country. Your citizenship is in heaven. The rights that you have are in heaven. And the Lord will come as your ambassador, as your advocate. He'll come while you're in this foreign country, because sometimes as saints of God, we feel like we're in a foreign place, don't we? All the folks that are around us are sinning more or less every day, and we're endeavoring by the grace of God to live right, and it seems like we're foreigners. You ever been to another country? You know, I know that when I first went to India, one of the things that I noted when the folks would, people would see me. Now, there are Indians that are my color, skin color. Very dark. But they knew that I was from another country. And you know, I remember when Brother Brent and I went, and one of the things that would always happen is folks would always, they don't do it so much anymore because they've got televisions and all the things that they didn't have back then, 15, 20 years ago. And they would all look at us, and it was something, a novelty. We were a novelty. And they could tell immediately that we were from another place. Do you know sometimes that's how it is spiritually speaking? That folks, I knew there was something different about you. I didn't know what it was, but are you a Christian? Yes, I'm a Christian. And you know what? It should be conspicuous. Not something that you hide. I'm from another country. Read, please.
But now they desire
a better country, something better than this.
That is,
and heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God. He has prepared for them a city. Have you ever thought about some folks that don't do right and, oh, don't tell them that that's your cousin. That's your brother.
That's your brother-in-law. And why do we say that? We say that because there is something that they are doing that's just plain old embarrassing. And so you're trying to distance yourself from them. You know, if we got that much sense, God has at least that much as well. But he said he's not ashamed to be called our God. Why? Because he knows how we're living. He sees what we're doing. Isn't that wonderful? All right, read.
By faith, Abraham,
when he was tried,
offered up Isaac.
All right. All right, that's good enough. I want you to drop down to, for sake of time, let's drop down to the 32nd verse. So he goes on and he speaks about all of these people by faith, Moses by faith, the different ones, what they, Joseph, the different ones that they did, what they did by faith. Now, he said, what more? What more shall I say?
The time
would fail me to tell you of Gideon,
of Barak,
of Samson,
Jephthah,
and David,
and
also
Samuel,
and of the prophets. So now, first of all, what I want you to understand, what we just read in the previous verse 13, it says here, verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. They knew that God was going to do the things that God had promised to do, but they didn't receive the promise. But they knew, they believed it. All right? Now, has the Lord promised you something that it seemed like he hasn't given you? All right? These all died. I want to read that before we go to that. There was something I want to read, the Amplified version here. These people all died, controlled and sustained by their faith, but not having received the tangible fulfillment of God's promises. Only having seen it and greeted it from a great distance by faith, and all the while acknowledging and confessing that they were strangers and temporary residents and exiles upon the earth. All right? They didn't tangibly get what was promised, but they remained faithful unto death. And they got it over on the other side. I don't know how that works, but I know it does. All right? Now, it says here, what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to talk, say, of Gideon and Barak and Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong. And what did it say at first? What is the first scripture that we read? It said, fear not those things that you shall suffer. Do you think these people are suffering anything? Do you think that they overcame anything? You know what makes for an interesting life? You ever read a biography or an autobiography or something that of somebody's life? You know what makes it interesting? It's the obstacles that they overcome. The things that they get, the places that they get themselves in, and they fight through, and they overcome. That's what gives them, and that's what inspires us. If they can do it, I can do it. And so we understand that the Lord gives us in the Scripture, and not only in the Scripture, but in lives that are around us, individuals that inspires because they go through these kind of things. They have quenched the violence of fire. They've gone through these tough tribulations and problems, and that we realize in our own minds, if they can do it by the grace of God, I know that I can. All right, read.
Wax
valiant in fight.
Turn
to flight the armies of the aliens. Women receive their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured. So you know what that means when it says that? Can you read into it? Can you infer into it? Women receive their dead raised to life again. What does that mean? That means somebody died, as far as they were concerned, prematurely. And they were weeping, and they were in grief, and they were in a place that it just didn't seem like. And women tend to show their emotion. This is why I believe it said women. They tend to show their emotion more than men. And you know that it hurt them. And you know that they're grieving over it. And God came, they prayed, and God came to their rescue. That's what it tells us. That's what's not said, but it's said. You understand what I'm saying? Women received their dead to life again. Others were tortured. Don't fear the things that you're going to go through. Endure to the end. You're going to be saved.
He said, if you go all the way to the end, being faithful to the end, I'll give you a crown of life. Some were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better direction. In other words, I don't want to be delivered. You hear about the man over in Virginia, I believe, that was a professed killer. I just read a little bit of the headline, and he requested to be put to death because he said if he gets out, he's going to kill again. So from my understanding, he wasn't to be put to death, but he wanted to be put to death. Not wanting deliverance, but do you know what? That man is in a worse place than he ever would have been in solitary confinement. If he did not make it right with the Lord, the worst thing that ever could have happened was for him to die without Christ. All right? And others had trials of
cruel mockings,
scourgings,
and moreover
a bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, sawn asunder. They were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskin and goatskin, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts, in mountains, in dens. You think that's out of your comfort zone? But these folks saw something. They saw something. And they were determined by the grace of God to be faithful to death. Not just up until this trial, but to death. All right?
These all, having
obtained a good report through faith, they didn't get the promise. They didn't get what was promised to them. All right? What happened? God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Now, work with me for a moment. Do you know what the body of Christ is? The body of Christ is not just a group of people that are here that are saved. The body of Christ is people that have been washed in the blood of Jesus, and they have the life of Christ anywhere on the face of the earth and anywhere and in heaven. So all these people are dead and they're gone. But it says here that God, having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. We were the other part of this equation. So the Lord said, I'm not going to give it to you, but I might give it to you through somebody else. Has the Lord ever done that for you? Has the Lord ever given you something, given somebody else something through you, or given you something through somebody else? It's all what He promised. So the brother is needing healing. Is it just this healing? No. Why? Whose healing is it? It's mine. It's the healing of the body. If my finger got cut and it healed, is it just the finger is healed, or is it something that belongs to the body? It is something that belongs to the body. And so what we have to understand here, God having provided some better thing, not for them, but for us. That when we look at what they went through, we look at the problems that they had, we look at the issues that they had to go through, that we can say, of a certainty, Lord, I'm going through it and I feel like Job. I feel like Moses. I feel like Gideon. I feel like we go to the Scripture and we find consolation in the Scripture that, Lord, if you did it for them, you can perfect the work in me. You promised, Lord. You promised. And I'm going to hold on to it. If you give it to me now, or if you give it to me on the other side, I still expect to have it, Lord, by the grace of God. I'm going to have it. I'm going to have victory. No matter what, I'm going to have victory. Saints, what are you going through? What has the devil whispered in your ear that the Lord hasn't been fair to you? Life isn't fair. Yes, Lord, help us. What I want, what balances it all out is that what makes it all right is that when sin abounds, what happens? I can have more of the grace of God in my life to take me through. That's what makes it fair. That's what makes it all right. You can get through it. Whatever it is that you're going through, endure to the end. It's almost over. It's almost over. All right, just a few other scriptures. Turn the page. 12, verse 1. Yes.
We're compassed about
with so great a cloud of witnesses. If we have around us, can you think? If we started telling you to name people that have had an inspiration, that have inspired you in your Christian walk, we could fill up this board.
Folks that are dead and gone. Mothers that we knew that lived right. Fathers that we knew. Grandparents that we knew. that live right. And you knew, you saw them going through their trial. You saw them going through these things that you're having to go through. And they went through it. And what happens when you look at that? They inspire you to the fact that if they can do it by the grace of God,
so can I. Seeing that we're compassed about with so great a crowd of witnesses,
let us lay aside
every weight.
And the sin
which just so easily beset us is all around us. We can just pick it up. We can accept it if we want to, or we can lay it aside. Lord, have mercy on us to lay it aside.
Let
us run with patience the race that is set before us.
Looking unto Jesus,
the author and finisher of our faith. Now, what does it mean when it says run with patience? What is patience?
Patience. Perseverance. It's endurance. All right? So we can say endurance, perseverance. Okay, close enough. Perseverance. All right.
It's different writing on a piece of paper than on a board. It really is. Anyway, whatever it is, you know what I'm trying to say.
It means that. What it means is slow down, y'all. Slow down. This is not a 100-yard dash. This is not a 100-meter dash. It's a marathon. We're going to have to endure all the way to here. This is where we're going to be. 26.2 miles. Or how many ever miles it is. There are going to be valleys. There are going to be hills. There are going to be rough places. There are going to be things that you're going to have to go through. But listen, just slow down. Take a deep breath. If you have to walk a little while, walk. You know what they do when they teach you how to run, when they train for a marathon? Part of the time, you're running until you get tired, then you walk, then you run, then you walk, and then you build up your endurance, and you can run all the way through, and you can run. It may not be very fast. You may not get it done in 2 hours. It may be 4 hours. It may be 8 hours, but you'll get it done. And listen, it doesn't matter how long it takes you. Just get there. Get to the finish line. Slow down. Run with patience. Lord, I'm stumbling over my feet. Have you ever seen a little child that gets to running and you tell them to slow down? Why do you tell them to slow down? Because their feet can't carry them as fast as they want to go. Sometimes the reason we stumble in these places that the Lord takes us through is because we think we're all grown up. We think that we can handle it, and our feet can our feet is taking us faster than we can really go, and we fall on our face and we wonder. And we get scarred up, and we get hurt, and we get embarrassed, and we start crying. But he said, run. Just slow down. Slow down. Don't stop.
Slow down. Run with patience. The race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus. He's our inspiration. He's the author and finisher of our faith. Who for the joy that is set before us, endured the cross. He endured it. He put up with it all the way to death. When he was up on that cross, do you know what he could have done? He could have said, I'm coming down off of this cross. But he was faithful all the way through death. All right?
Despising the shame.
And is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be weary and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Now that's an encouragement to us. You consider Christ. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Whatever it is that you've got to get through, look to the Lord. The Lord can take you through it. He'll take you. He's running the race with you. And then he says here, for consider him. Give time to meditate on what Jesus went through for you. Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be weary and faint in your mind. And say, you know what? I can't do this. I can't do this. This is too much. It's too hard. But God can help you through it. You got to endure until it's over. Then you'll be saved. All right? One last scripture. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 1 and 2.
Let a man so account of us
as other ministers of Christ.
Stewards of the mysteries of God.
Moreover,
it is required of in stewards
that a man be found faithful.
It's not an option. It's a requirement. The Lord requires. If you're going to get into the Lord God's heaven, you will be faithful.
And saints, I often say this. You know what? Going to heaven is not optional to me. I'm going.
by the grace of God. I'm not saying that in some arrogant way, but it's a determination that the enemy presents. Don't you suppose the enemy is presented to all of us that, you know what, you don't got to do all that. You don't have to do all that in order to live right. You don't have to do everything that the Bible said or do it like that. You can kind of do whatever you want to do. Kind of give you a little leeway. I want to do it just like the Lord wants me to do it. You know why? Because it's His heaven that I got to get into. And I'm intending by the grace of God, I will be there. My wife and I, on the way to church, we were talking about something. And I don't know, we were talking about the subject got on hell. And I said, you know what? I'll never know what it's like unless the Lord gives a seminar about it in heaven. I'll never know. I have no desire to know. I don't know if there's degrees. I don't know how hot it is. I know there's devils and I know there's fire. I know it's torture. And I know it's torment, but I don't want to know nothing about it. And I'm not going to check it out. I'm not doing any of that. I'm going to heaven by the grace of God. And listen, saints, all of us can go. Isn't that wonderful? So I want to encourage you, be faithful. Be thou faithful. Don't worry about what everybody else is doing. You be faithful unto death.